Well, according to Jewish theologian Dennis Prager, there's only one solution to this world's problems. If we apply this one solution, we would have everything that we need to correct the wrongs in our world. This solution is 3,000 years old, and we call it the Ten Commandments. Because I'm a Christian and Mr. Prager is a Jew, I have one difference with his statement. I do agree that the Ten Commandments can solve moral problems, but they are not the only solution to this world's problem. Jesus Christ is. Incidentally, he directed us to obey the commandments. Other than that, Mr. Prager and I are in total agreement that great evils are committed in our world when one or more of these commandments are violated. Yet, our culture vehemently resists the commandments. Some think the idea that God has commandments to follow are ludicrous. Who does he think he is anyway? We think we're just a lot smarter than the commandments. We, as a collective whole, can certainly come up with better laws than that, right? Well, I have some examples of some of our better laws. Bear wrestling is a Class B felony. So all of you who are thinking of picking a fight with a bear this afternoon, better think again. It is unlawful to pretend to be a member of the clergy. This is a misdemeanor and punishable by a fine of $500 and or confinement in the county jail for up to 1 year. Did you know it is unlawful to drive blindfolded? Well, it is, so I hope none of you are doing that. It is also unlawful to eat in a place that is on fire. It's a good thing I mentioned it, or I'm sure you would all be doing that too. It is unlawful to give a dog whiskey. It might be amusing, but it is against the law. It is unlawful to fish while sitting on a giraffe's neck. It is unlawful to wear a fake mustache that causes laughter in church. It is also unlawful to flick boogers into the wind. Wow! What a bunch of brilliant laws we human beings made up. See how bright we are? Our laws are certainly more helpful to humanity than God's boring ones. On a more serious note, every religion on the planet has formed its own laws. Islam contains some of religion's most harsh laws. They include things like drinkers and gamblers are to be whipped. Husbands may hit their wives if their wives have disrespected them. Homosexuals and unbelievers must be executed. Now, Mormonism formulated some strange laws. You must wear special underwear, but you better be careful because those undershorts turn white if you sin. In Mormonism, you can't drink caffeine, and you can't go to the movies or read the Bible. There's this church called the Maradonian Church. It was named after the legendary soccer player, Argentine Diego Maradona. They made up their own rules. You must pray to Maradona, and you must change your middle name to Diego. There's another church out there called the Church of the Flying Spaghetti Monster. No, really, it's a religion. It boasts of about 80,000 followers worldwide. They're called, ready for this, Pastafarians. If I'm lying, I'm dying. They probably have the most ridiculous rules, which include you must wear pirate clothing. When getting a photo taken, you must wear a colander on your head. And just for fun, I've included a wedding photo of two Pastafarians. The man is wearing a spaghetti pot, and the woman is wearing a colander. Well, Christianity has rules too. We call them the Ten Commandments. I double dog dare you to show me just one of those commandments that is harsh or nonsensical. Just one. The commandments say we're not supposed to lie. Is that dumb? We're not supposed to commit sexual sin. Is that harsh? We are supposed to honor our parents. Is that crazy? I think I have loosely proven that humans make some of the harshest and stupidest laws ever. And I think that disqualifies every single one of us from making up laws for humanity. If we can't make up the laws, then who should? I know, it's a no-brainer. God should make up the laws. And he has. The commandments do not begin with the 10 thou shalt nots that we all think of. It begins with the words found in Exodus 20, verse 1. And God spoke all these words. These simple words are the overlooked preamble to the 10 commandments. God spoke all these words. We skip right over this verse so we can argue about what each commandment does or doesn't mean. But this verse, which seems to be a throwaway verse, is very important. These words tell us point blank that God is speaking. These are his laws. So there is no debate about it. He said all the words that are going to come next, not Moses, not anybody else, but God. He gave the commandments. Therefore, we must take all of them with complete seriousness. God spoke all these words. Therefore, we must pay attention. In the commandments, we find an objective standard for right and wrong. Here is a place, really the only place, for us to form proper moral standards. Here at last is a set of universal, cross-cultural, cross-religious moral principles that have never been repealed, that have never been surpassed, and have never been outdated. It has been estimated since the beginning of time about 35 million laws have been passed. The United States has so many laws that I've read we are all unwittingly and constantly breaking them all the time. So how can we know which laws are valid and which ones are not? There are three tests we can apply to laws to see which ones are valid. The first one is we can judge the validity of a law based on how we feel about it. How can it be wrong if it feels so right? Feelings change and shift constantly, so what will we do if our feelings conflict with our convictions? What will you do if your feelings clash with somebody else's feelings? Who will be right then? So that one doesn't work. So the second one we can try is we can hold a vote to see which laws are valid. Let's say the majority wins. How can it be wrong if more than 50% of the people want it? Morals cannot be determined by a majority vote, as we have seen in this country. So that one's not going to work. So let's try rule number three. We can use an absolute, objective, fair standard that has never changed, nor will never change. The absolute test of the validity of a law comes from the Holy Bible. We can decide which laws are valid based on what? All the words God said. For many generations, the Ten Commandments were considered to be a standard part of a good American education. Elementary age children were required to recite all 10 of them. The sad reality today is most American children will grow up and know next to nothing about the Ten Commandments. Most kids can name 10 popular cartoon characters, but cannot name more than 3 of the commandments. In general, the 10 commandments have been dismissed as some kind of relic. Some will say, well, they're old-fashioned. Are these just archaic rules that God gave to an ancient civilization? Do we really need all that nonsense here in the 21st century? Aren't we just evolved humanists who already know how to behave? Hey! You might know how to behave, and I might know how to behave, but there's a lot of people out there who do not know how to behave, and that's just a fact, Jack. Ted Koppel, formerly of ABC's Nightline, said something very brilliant about the Ten Commandments in a speech he gave many years ago. He said this, "The Ten Commandments, we've actually convinced ourselves that slogans will save us. Shoot up if you must, but use a clean needle. Enjoy sex whenever and with whomever you wish, but wear a condom. No, the answer is no. Not because it isn't cool or smart, or because you might end up in jail or dying in an AIDS ward, but no, because it's wrong. Because we have spent 5,000 years as a race of rational human beings trying to drag ourselves out of the primeval slime by searching for truth and moral absolutes. In the place of truth, we have discovered facts. For moral absolutes, we have substituted moral ambiguity. What Moses brought down from Mount Sinai was not ambiguous. They were not the 10 suggestions. They are the commandments. Are and not were. The sheer beauty of the commandments is that they codify in a handful of words acceptable human behavior, not just for then, but for now and for all of time. The 10 commandments provide a timeless standard for everybody. If there is no reason for acknowledging the value of the 10 commandments, this would be enough. We live in a time when objective morality is debated. Everybody gets to set their own standard. If it's not right for you, if it is right for you, that's cool. But it's not right for me, and I hope that's cool with you. So let's just play that kind of thinking out to its logical end. Joe says it's okay for him to steal. So I say, well, that's not my standard, but hey, who am I to judge Joe? We have an agreement until Joe steals from me, and then all of a sudden, it's wrong to steal. The same goes for adultery. Sexual sin is okay until my spouse cheats on me, then all of a sudden it's wrong. Lying? Well, that's fine. Until your kid lies to you, and then it's wrong. Everyone living by their own standards has made our society chaotic and untamed. This is one of the reasons why I am making the case for following the Ten Commandments today. We must have an objective, absolute standard for everyone. Otherwise, we're going to implode. I've heard people say, well, I prefer to be a little more broad-minded, and the commandments are just a little narrow. But so is every runway in the world. How would you like it if the pilot on a plane you were on came on the intercom and said, well, guys, the runway at O'Hare is just a little too narrow for me. It's too restrictive. I don't really want to land there. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to miss it, and I'm going to land on the Eisenhower Expressway instead. You don't want a stuntman landing the plane. You want a narrow-minded rule keeper landing the plane. That narrow ribbon of pavement is the difference between landing in one piece and possibly dying. The Ten Commandments are also the narrow passage between wholeness and injury. Not to sound like an old fuddy-duddy, but we do live in an immoral age. Crime and violence and sexual immorality are out of control. Millions of people have no respect for the law or authority, and especially the authority of God. Mankind has lost the concept of what it means that God is the authority figure of the universe. And the Bible tells us this: there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. James 4:12. In the search for wisdom, humanism, self-sufficiency, and a new and improved religion, we have left the God of the universe behind. And then we wring our hands together, wondering why our culture and our personal lives are so out of control. Just in case you're wondering, I don't think it's going to get any better unless we come to our senses and embrace what? All the words God said. Yeah, well, that's good and fine for you, but those commandments cramp my style. Those commandments are just a big list of no-nos. It's one thou shalt not after another. Some people read this list and think maybe God doesn't have much of a sense of humor. They think he's a cosmic killjoy. Personally, I think God is funny, but that's for another time. One newspaper wrote an article on the Ten Commandments for its Sunday edition. And this article contained just one word. It was the word don't in big black bold letters. That's some people's perception of the commandments. No, no, no. Don't do this, don't do that. Don't have any fun. Don't enjoy your life. If you enjoy life, you're probably sinning. I guess it would be intellectually dishonest to say that the commandments aren't a list of no's. They are in a way. But if you truly love someone, you'll love them enough to say no. John Roseman wrote a semi-controversial book called Vitamin N. The N in the title stands for no. Mr. Roseman's working premise is that it's good to tell kids no. He believes that today's parents hand out too many yeses and not enough no's, and that's just not good for kids. Mr. Roseman writes this: the fact that today's parents are not giving their children enough vitamin no. This is not just weakening their children's character, but it also has the potential of eroding the very foundation of our democratic society. You may or you may not agree with Mr. Rosemond, but think about your own kids. You've just got to tell them no sometimes. If you don't, you're not loving them properly. How loving would it be to let little one-year-old Johnny crawl up to the electric outlet with a fork and stick it in? What are you going to say when you see Johnny crawling over to the socket with a fork? No, don't. Well, let's say you've managed to keep little Johnny alive until he's 16 years old. How loving would it be to let him drive home with a drunk friend? What are you going to say when Johnny calls you and says he's driving home with Ralph, who's had 6 beers and several Jell-O shots? No, don't. This is what God is doing in the commandments. He loves us enough to say, no, don't. Besides, it isn't entirely fair to say that the commandments are just a list of no-nos. Turn them around, and you will find the most positive, life-affirming statements ever written. Revere God. Cherish the truth. Protect human life. Honor marriage. Respect other people's property and reputations. Living by the commandments is a way to physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual wholeness. What I've tried to do today is make a case for the Ten Commandments in a zero-commandment world. I hope at least to have opened our minds and our hearts to studying them in the next few weeks as we explore and try to understand all the words God spoke. This morning, we're going to observe Holy Communion. And the band is going to come up, and we're going to play O Come to the Altar. And as we play this song, prepare your hearts to receive Holy Communion. Mm-hmm.